Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, especially verse 48. Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And we have absolutely no idea what that means. And it's wonderful. But it meant something to Nathanael. And as Nathanael hears, under the fig tree, "I saw you," he realizes, understands who Jesus is. But again, it's absolutely wonderful that we have no idea what that means. Why is that absolutely wonderful? You see, this makes it very personal between Jesus and Nathanael. I doubt if Philip knew what it meant, or Peter and Andrew or James or John or any of the other disciples. It's very personal. And there is a pattern there. You see, the pattern in the Gospel of John happens to Nathanael, happens to Nicodemus, to the woman at the well, to the man born blind, and on and on and on it goes. Where Jesus looks at you and he sees inside your soul. And that experience, well, that is something very unique, isn't it? And Nathanael knows that he has been seen, not just that he was under the fig tree, but whatever it was that was going on there, and out of all of the guesses, that theologians make. You know, you read the commentaries on this verse, and they are all over the map. Nobody knows what was going on under that fig tree, but there seems to be some fairly consistent that it was something deeply spiritual for Nathanael, and Jesus knew about it. And to be known by Jesus is quite amazing. Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You perceive my thoughts from afar. Before there is a word on my tongue, you know it altogether. And then you start asking the question, and I've done this, asking people, what is your spiritual story? How did you come to know that Jesus is the Christ? And you would be surprised how many different, various answers there are. It's not too long before you come to the conclusion that there is a Jesus who is pursuing each one of his people that come to faith in him in very unique ways for each one of us. You go through the Bible. For Abraham, it was God said, "Leave your father's house and go to a land where I will show you." For Peter, it starts out, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And on and on and on it goes. I've heard pastors talk about the verse that caught them. And the stories can be very strange. But that's our experience in coming to Jesus. There is something where he pursues us and finds us and calls us into his kingdom. Now, for most of you, you've heard me tell about a lady over in Africa living out in the Kalahari in Botswana by the name of Halabotse, and how I first heard of her, and the missionary said, "Please pray for Halabotse." And as I prayed and asked my congregation to pray for her, I also added in what seemed an absurd prayer. It'll never happen. And Lord, let me one day meet Halabotse and be able to say to her that Jesus loves her. And it was only a couple of years later, through odd routes and paths. One of the parts of the odd routes and paths involved, there was a group going over and had a choice of which of two of the three subgroups to travel with flipped a quarter. And because it came down the way it did, I went with that group. And then the itinerary for that group was all thrown into absolute confusion because the guy that was supposed to arrange for our travels to go through and see the churches, he suddenly could not do that. Two other pastors decided, oh, we'll take over. Little side story. As you're driving down the roads in Botswana, and there are fences off on the sides, which side do you keep the cattle on? In this country, you figure you keep them on the side of the fence away from the road. Of course, right? Might be wild animals out there. Endanger the cattle, so you keep them on the road side of the fence. And when a cow decides to saunter across the road right in front of you, you better be quick on the brakes. And so the driver was, and the car died. And then we found out that when you have to turn the starter, and that won't work unless you flip the windshield wiper on. The second time it died, turn the starter, flip the windshield wiper on, and it doesn't work, and so you honk the horn, and now it starts. So, a couple days after that, we're with a missionary traveling out to the Kalahari. Oh, who's that over there? Why, that's Halabotse. And that evening, after listening to the missionary tell about John the Baptist and Jesus, she turns and says, any of our visitors have something you want to say? And after telling how we'd heard about Halabotse and I'd been praying for her, I said, and I also added, Lord Jesus, let me meet Halabotse and say to her that Jesus loves her. And I say to Halabotse, you don't know Jesus. You may not know Jesus, but he knows you. And he wants you to live forever with him. And that's the kind of thing that Jesus does. He is amazing. He's the kind that when he says to Nathanael, I saw you. That Nathanael knows what that means, and it knows that he has been known and seen deep inside his soul. Whether it was prayer or struggling with temptation, whether it was searching the scriptures and pondering over passages that talked about the coming Christ, Jesus said, I saw you. And Nathanael replies, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. But hold off on that for a moment, because what does it mean that he sees us? When Jesus calls, he deals honestly with us. He speaks truth. And that truth happens to have something to do and something to say about us as sinners. And we are known. Completely and all the way through. And you know, in any other religion, that would be frightening. Your God knows everything you have ever done that is wrong. And if we were simply talking about God in his authority and power and might, that would be frightening. We'd also be more properly called deists instead of Christians. but we are Christians, and our knowledge of God is in and through Jesus Christ. And that makes all the difference in the world, because to be known by Christ, and to be known all the way through by Jesus Christ, okay, he knows our doubts, he knows our fears, he knows our hesitation and pulling back from the kingdom of God. He knows the state of our faith and how strong or weak it is. He knows how often we falter, and on and on and on. And with that knowledge, what did he do? He came to be one of us. He came to be born and become a human being, to share this human flesh. That's what he did. So that he could share the experience of having to walk by faith, share the experience of calling out to God and not being sure whether he was heard. That's in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's why he goes and he prays repeatedly the same thing over and over again. And the letter to the Hebrews reports that he prayed it with loud cries and tears, fearing what was to come. That's our Jesus, who shares all of this. What does he do with our sins? He takes them up and carries them away and removes them from us as far as the east is from the west. And when Jesus does that, all of a sudden, it's okay to be a sinner standing before God, because that's the safe place where the Savior meets you and honestly deals with you and takes the sin and takes you as a sinner and makes you his own and calls you his own. Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. Before there is a word on my tongue, you know it all together. And we as Christians, we come before the Christ, who says in the Old Testament, "Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands." How sweet is that? And so Nathanael comes to meet Jesus. Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And we have no idea what that means, and that's okay. Because what it does mean is that Jesus individually and very personally and deep inside, down to the deepest part of our soul, that's where he meets us, that's where he calls us to know him and to be his. Psalm 139. If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn and dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your right hand will lay hold of me. David then says, about all of these things, David in Psalm 139 says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. But you know, the knowledge that we are known, that's not the astonishing and baffling thing. There are a lot of religions that talk about God knowing us. The astonishing and baffling thing is that knowing us as we are, he wanted us to be with him in his kingdom forever. Why? What did we have to offer? But he loved us. And he didn't have to do this. He didn't have to come to this world and be born and be one of us. He didn't have to, but he did it. And he didn't have to take each of our sins and carry them to the cross so that we could be redeemed, reconciled, atoned for, and brought back to God. He didn't have to do it, but he did. And he didn't have to make us his own brothers and sisters and his friends. He could have earned eternal life for us to be servants. But he calls us part of his family. And he does say that we are his friends. He didn't have to do it, but he did. Because that is who Jesus is. That is our Savior. And so when Nathanael comes to him, "I saw you under the fig tree. Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Well, Nathanael knows a few things about Jesus at that moment, doesn't he? But there are other things he does not know. He doesn't realize what this being the King of Israel is going to involve, and where the following of Jesus will lead, to Jerusalem, and then out to Calvary, to the cross, to the tomb, then to the empty tomb, and Jesus rising from the dead and appearing before his disciples on Easter evening. He doesn't understand any of that, because this business of being King of Israel, well, that name for Jesus is very similar to another name for Jesus, isn't it? A name that was written down, a name that was posted on a placard, a name that was put in three languages, Aramaic and Latin and Greek, that name being Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And you know that where that was posted, don't you? On the cross. He's a different kind of king. The only kind that can lead us into salvation and eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.